This is A Word on the Word, bringing to you the homily, recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, USA. Our pastor is Father Angelo Arondo. We're so glad you could join us today. The readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time are from the Book of Sirach, the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, and the Gospel according to Luke. To hear them, click on our link at awordontheword.blogspot.com. But now, here's Father Angelo.
This weekend, there is no joy in Mudville. The mighty Yankees struck out. But even in Mudville, day follows night, winter follows fall, and life continues. So good morning. Today as a church, we celebrate the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our readings from Luke continue to challenge us to our understanding of who God is, what God is saying of himself, what Jesus Christ is asking of us, and how you and I respond to what God is asking of us and what Jesus is asking of us as well. Today's readings offer us a unique challenge. But very often, when we hear the gospel, and very often as the gospel is preached, little segments of the gospels are treated like O. Henry stories, that they're full in themselves, and that's just not the reality. So when we hear today's gospel reading, it may be focusing in on these two individuals, and only one of them goes away justified. But did you ever ask the question, why? Let's look at this Pharisee. It's a story now. He enters into the temple and he says, thank God I am not like the rest of men. Well, he wasn't. He wasn't like the rest of men. He says, I fast twice a week. Jewish law asked people to fast once a week. See, he went far over that. He says, I pay tithes on everything I have. Jewish law said you pay tithes on the net profit. He paid 10% on the gross. He says, I am not an adulterer. He remained faithful to his wife. I defraud no one. He was an honest man. And yet we're told he does not go, he's not justified. Why? Well, we have to remember last week's gospel and the gospel from the weeks before. Remember last week's gospel, the story of the unjust judge, the corrupt judge. And this woman comes to him and asks for a decision, and he doesn't want to give it to her, so she keeps begging him and bothering him and bothering him. So finally, he just gives her the judgment she wants. And I try to help us understand that this story, this parable, falls into a very unique part of the parables. How much more? If this corrupt judge can give this woman what she wants, how much more would our God give to us who loves us? How much more? The Pharisee in today's story was an upright man, but he was trying to outdo God's goodness. He was trying to outdo what God does. So he has this framework of his own greatness rather than looking at the greatness of the God who is extravagant. And a couple of weeks ago, we heard the story about the extravagant father. The prodigal father, the father who sees his son a long distance off before he even knows what the son has in mind, rushes out, hugs him, kisses him, embraces him. Our God is a magnanimous God of love, a magnanimous God of mercy, a magnanimous God of forgiveness. And there's nothing you and I can do to coerce God. There's nothing you and I can do to claim God's attention. It's there. And so many hours of our prayer life is telling God what we want, what we need, as though he doesn't know. We ask God to comfort us, as though we don't think he cares. Can't be further from the truth. We're told in the gospel, every hair on your head is counted. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So the whole challenge of faith is not to coerce God. It's come to believe how much God loves us. God cannot love you any more than he already does, All you can do is become more aware of God's love. God can't be any closer to you than he already is. All you have to do is become more aware and believe in how close he is to you. When our God enters into our life as Jesus Christ, St. Paul tells us this is the invisible God made visible. This is the magnanimous gift of God, who lives the love, who lives the mercy, who lives the justice of God magnanimously. So we look at the person of Jesus, who this woman caught the act of adultery, forgives her. She never asked to be forgiven. Gratuitously forgives. This Jesus condemns no one but those who try to do better than God. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. So must you do for one another." Why? Because he serves. He serves you and he serves me. So if you and I want to enter into a deeper relationship with God, it's not about us telling God what we want, what we need, what God must do. It's just standing in the presence of a God who couldn't possibly love us anymore. Sure, bad things happen to good people. That has nothing to do with God. It's part of the human condition. So in that powerful first reading that Frank proclaimed for us from the book of Sirach, we hear that God hears our call. God hears our cry. God is ever present to us. And when you and I feel that God is far from us, it's because you and I perceive that God is far from us, but God is not far from us. The readings constantly challenge us to hear what God is saying about to us and about us. He can't love you more than he already does. And what you and I do here at Eucharist celebrates that wonder. We gather, and as you and I gather in his name, he is present to us, the Christ. Not a stranger, present to us. We take simple things, simple bread, simple wine, and it becomes the most awesome gift, the very body and blood of his Son, and he gives us back that gift. We give him something simple, and we get something magnanimous back. Then he tells us to consume it. To consume it and become what you are receiving. The very person of his Son. Then he says, now go out into the world and live it and celebrate it. Why is it that our God gets such bad publicity? It's because we allow people to speak for our God. And we don't stand up and defend. We allow pundits to make him a god of hatred, a god of anger, a god of vengeance. How dare us? How dare us? Do we understand our God so little that we will allow others to turn him into a weapon? Relish in the faith that God has given to you. Embrace that faith. Because apart from that faith, you and I have no purpose. Nothing to our existence. If God can't possibly love you any more than he already does, and he loves me as much as he possibly can, the problem is that you and I don't learn to love one another. And we don't allow other people to be loved by us. So we place ourselves over our God. Like today's Pharisee. We always have to gather with grateful hearts and humble hearts. There's nothing you and I can do to outdo God. There's nothing you and I can ask for that he doesn't already know. There's nothing that you and I have to ask for forgiveness for that he has not already forgiven. We just have to acknowledge his great love for you and me and begin to believe it. And if we begin to believe it, we begin to cherish it, if we begin to cherish it, we begin to live it. And once we begin to live it, then the relationship is cemented. The relationship becomes a reality. Out of all the prayers Jesus could have taught, he taught but one. And it was a prayer of relationship. Abba, Daddy. But not just my daddy, not just your daddy, our daddy. The relationship is what you and I celebrate. The relationship is how God reveals himself to us through the person of Jesus Christ and invites us into his inner circle. Let us always pray with grateful hearts for the faith we have. Let us pray for the courage to embrace that faith and live it. But most of all, let us pray for the love to become that faith for one another. God bless you.
Recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, Danbury, Connecticut, October 24th, 2010, 7:45 in the morning Mass. Thank you, Father Angelo. Well, that's a word on the word for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Some rights are reserved. Links for the daily readings, morning and evening prayers, and more can be found in our show notes, and we publish them at awordontheword.blogspot.com. That's awordontheword.blogspot.com. Or the St. Gregory the Great homepage is www.danbury.org/St. Greg. Thank you for joining us. A Word on the Word executive producer is Father Angelo Arondo and is produced by Gregory Wensek. Please, let us know what you think. If you have any questions or comments, we want to include them. Please, drop us a line at awordontheword@gmail.com. On behalf of St. Gregory the Great Parish, God bless.